are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, February 14th, and a happy Valentine's Day to you guys with love from your host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, your boy Matt Shook, your lover Matt Shook for today. Let's call it what it is. A sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. A little bit of a juice cleanse today. Also stayed up late writing a story for the Detroit News last night. Not a lot of sleep. So a little bit loopy today. You're going to have to excuse me for that. About to go crash. Get to bed as soon as I possibly can so I can wake up and just devour food in the morning. But today we're going to run down the details of Wednesday's Pistons loss to the Boston Celtics, the last game before the All-Star break. I'm also going to talk about the bench and the moves the Pistons need to make to clean that up, the problematic second and third quarters. Also, a new voicemailer today that I'm anxious to share with you guys. We're going to update the playoff race and playoff odds to close off the end of the pre-All-Star break portion of the schedule here at the end of the show today. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. But as we mentioned, Pistons closed the pre-All-Star game portion of the season with a loss in Beantown. 118-110, the Celtics topped the Pistons, a game that was not nearly that close. Pistons were down by 28 at one point in the third quarter. Made a nice little spirited comeback late that you always like to see, better than the complete embarrassment of the blowout. But Pistons got it down to, I think, about 10 mid-fourth quarter. Then Al Horford hit a three, and then I believe Marcus Morris hit another one. Back to 16 right away, and that was that. The Pistons fall to 26-30. And although it is the All-Star break, traditionally called the first half of the season ending, the season is actually 68% the way in the books already, so an uneven schedule, as we know, in the NBA slate. 26 games left for the Pistons this season. And then after Miami beat Dallas on Wednesday night, the Pistons are now tied with the Heat for the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs, one game behind Charlotte for the seventh spot and 2.5 games behind the Brooklyn Nets for the sixth spot. The Pistons fall to 3-2 when going up against teams on the second half of a back-to-back. Several more of those coming up for the rest of the season as I pull up the numbers. Looks like the Pistons will go up against five more teams that are going to be on the second half of back-to-backs this season and will be playing in six back-to-backs themselves. So that balances out a little bit there the rest of the way. But on the score sheet, Blake Griffin had 32 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, another Blake Griffin-like performance from Blake Griffin, if you can believe that. 21 points and 17 rebounds from Andre Drummond. Even more impressive than that was the 4 steals he had active on the perimeter today. A couple of bad fouls late in the first half by him to go to the locker room with 3 fouls at halftime that was pretty much needless. But again, a little bit nitpicky as Andre Drummond played another strong game for the Pistons. He has played well for the past 9-10 games or so ever since coming back from the concussion that he suffered and had to miss a few games because of that. Speaking of guys playing well, Reggie Jackson had 18 points and did the job as far as being a steady hand, which is a new thing for Reggie Jackson over these last couple of years. But again, another guy having a nice stretch of games here in the end portion of the first half, so to speak. But that's about it for the Pistons. I think Luke Kennard had 11 points, got the start as Langston Galloway went back to the bench. And 13 points for Wayne Ellington, but that was a little fraudulent as those points came after the big deficit that the Pistons already fell behind. And he had struggled individually up until then, finished 3-for-10 from three-point land individually. But it was good for them, for Ellington to get some shots, to see some shots fall for his new team, not going into the All-Star break with the huge donut for three-point attempts or something, or three-point makes or something like that. But Wayne Ellington's still not out of my doghouse. He's still on mole watch for me, as I mentioned the other day. Maybe he's a mole for the Miami Heat. And I'm not thrown off by his garbage time buckets there. That's what a mole would do, right? If you were a mole for a team, you'd play well in garbage time when it doesn't matter and kind of throw us off the scent. So we're not 100% sure still that Wayne Ellington is not a mole working for the Miami Heat down the stretch here this season. So to be continued on that storyline, which I know you guys are enjoying for sure. But that bench was the problem. We'll throw Ellington in there. And outside of the top four, and Kennard played pretty well, all things considered. But Langston Galloway went right back to the bench and played even worse than he's played lately. Some more defensive problems today. 0 points in 12 minutes. And 25 points for the bench in total, with 13 of those coming from Ellington, who, like I said, kind of cleaned up in garbage time. Some minute distribution issues that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But Svi Mykhailiuk, he was inactive, didn't even suit up for the game. Khyree Thomas and Glenn Robinson III did suit up, but got the DNPs from Dwayne Casey and his staff. For the Celtics, all five starters were in double figures, in addition to Jaylen Brown, who came off the bench for them. Jason Tatum had 19 points to lead the Seas. Al Horford had 17 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists in an outstanding game for him. Gordon Hayward, 18 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. Really playing well lately. A lot of you guys said never trade for him. I'm going to remember that. Keeping my receipts here on Locked On Pistons. But 16 for 39 from three-point land for the Celtics. They got the big win against the Pistons there. The bench for the Celtics had 37 points compared to the Pistons' 25. And that's despite the fact that they had a much shorter bench than usual, which comes along with Kyrie Irving, Terry Rozier. We'll trade them if they like, but Kyrie Irving, Terry Rozier, and Aaron Baines not being in the lineup because of injuries for the Celtics. So obviously that moves guys up into the starting lineup and forces guys who usually don't play to get a couple of minutes here and there. So despite all that, the Boston bench took care of the Pistons bench pretty handily and made that lead even bigger in the middle quarters there. But the Pistons off for the All-Star break, heading to wherever they're going to head to, parts unknown for now. But the next game will not be until a week from Friday, February 22nd, at Atlanta, which is followed up by a game at Miami, and we all know how important that one will be for the Pistons. But up next here on the show, we're going to talk about the bench issues and what three moves that I think need to be made by the coaching staff to make this work going forward. But by the way, when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device in your ride to play podcast Locked On Pistons. It'll play that next episode for you so you can listen to us on the commute. Maybe tell the kids to be quiet in the back seat because you got to hear Matt deliver your Locked On podcast, your Locked On Pistons podcast episode. So again, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. But we also have an important favor to ask of you, and we'd like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners just like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better, if that is possible. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. And I know a certain host that might be one that you could throw in the what you like category. It should take about 15 minutes to complete, and by participating, you enter into the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit lockedonpodcasts.com/survey to participate. Again, that's lockedonpodcasts.com/survey. Go ahead and take care of that for us. We'd really appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to be hitting the voicemail line and updating the playoff race for you guys a little bit too. But check out the Detroit News today on Thursday and also on DetNews.com. I did a long story, 65 inches of great journalism for you, behind the scenes with some of the members of the Detroit Pistons entertainment squads, the Bucket Band that came in from Spain Elementary Middle School from Detroit on Monday's game against the Washington Wizards. Talked to Diane Ferranti, Erica Swilly, Mason, Lachelle Renee. And if you listen to this show, if you're a regular listener and have been for a while now, you've heard of many of these folks already. You've actually heard them on the show. Also talked to Sean Martinez as well, who kind of runs the show with a little bit of the entertainment stuff. Worth a read. Check it out. Get down and dirty with some of the behind-the-scenes stuff with the Detroit Pistons there. Had a lot of fun putting that together on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, as it were. But as we talked about, I mean, the bench had all sorts of problems on Wednesday against the Boston Celtics. You'd expect that. I mean, this is a team that could contend for the Eastern Conference Championship, and I know that I'm one of the only guys that's still on that bandwagon right now that they are possibly a team that could get to the NBA Finals and possibly still win the NBA Finals. I think that with veteran teams like this, and I know that there's still a lot of young guys in this team, but playoff tested in terms of veteranness, the teams like that, it's just kind of a lot of noise and even into the first two-thirds of the season. Now, when we get towards the playoffs, you'd like to see this team kind of put some wins together and get some cohesiveness going. But even so, we've seen some teams in the past, if it ain't rough, it ain't right, like, right, Rashid? We've seen some teams kind of turn on the switch when they need to at times, although that's not definitely the way you want to go as an organization going forward. But we saw it on Wednesday. The bench, basically everyone except the Big Four. I'm gonna call them the Big Four for this year. It's wishful thinking that I'm going to throw Luke Kennard and into that mix with Reggie Jackson and throwing those two. Maybe it's the Big Two, maybe the Big One, the second biggest one, and then the next two or something like that. But a Big Four, if we're being generous to the guys with Blake Griffin there in that group, only because Luke Kennard has to be in the Big Four for this team to make any kind of meaningful finish to this season in terms of getting maybe into that sixth slot, or even if they're falling short and staying in the seventh or eighth slots, that you're playing well at the end of the season, something to feel good about as an organization, and then maybe even win a playoff game or two, or you know, heaven forbid, go to seven or get to the second round. Somehow, you never know. But if you're just relying on those Big Four, obviously that's not even going to be enough. There's just no production on Wednesday night from outside of those guys. Again, preaching to the choir. I know you guys listening know about this, and it's not a huge surprise, right? Because the rest of this roster is not very good right now. But I think there's ways that you can improve it, especially given what you have in terms of getting the most out of what the front office has afforded you. In terms of the roster right now, I think the minutes distribution, the rotations, a little bit of an issue. And you know that I don't like to talk about rotations as much as a lot of folks do out there. But here's three things that I would do to help alleviate the overall lack of talent that the Pistons have right now. And again, a lot of these are things you've heard about on Twitter a little bit from some of the other guys, and I've talked about some of this stuff before too. But I would leave Luke Kennard on the bench. I would not start him. Go with him in the second unit. Still give him the big minutes. Still have him finish games with the first unit there. But I would put Wayne Ellington as a starter and have Luke kind of more of a creator with the second unit. I think that they were really struggling at first with that second unit and brought him in, and he kind of did a couple of nice things to help alleviate the run that Boston went on there late in the first quarter, early in the second quarter. But, yeah, I'm just tired like you guys of watching these second quarters with that Zaza crew. Even with Ish Smith back, it's not a reliable second group. I think there was an 18-0 run by Boston over the two quarters there on Wednesday. And they took control of that game in what was a topsy-turvy first half there. The next thing I would do is stagger some more of the minutes, particularly with Blake and Andre. I think that between Reggie, Blake, and Andre, you should probably have at least one of those guys on the court at all times. And I think the addition of Thon Maker is a way to really make that happen. I think you can have Thon on the court with Blake. I think you can have Thon on the court with Andre as well. What we saw in the early part of that second quarter when things really went to hell for the Pistons, one of the times on Wednesday that things went to hell, was that Thon Maker and Zaza Pachulia lineup. I don't like that at all with them together. You could separate them and still have them be effective with the pairings of the all-star Blake and the near all-star and Andre Drummond. I just think that with Thon and Zaza, that lineup's not going to have nearly enough rebounding and no scoring whatsoever, just no offensive threat between those two. Thon can park it in the corner offensively and keep working that spot, maybe even knock down some shots from that corner, and that can open up space for Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, but that's not really going to help you out with Zaza out on the court. Zaza doesn't desire that space, and the Pistons fans don't really desire for him to have that space, unless it's high post, maybe making some passes to some players off of action, off of each other on the perimeter, or maybe some cuts to the basket as well. Third thing that I would do to alleviate some of these problems is just to sit down Langston Galloway. We've said it before. We'll continue to do that. He has 8 points in 64 minutes over the past four games. He's shooting 3-for-17 from the field in that stretch. The results are just not there. The defense has been even worse for him lately. He's too small to play the three and too limited to be anything other than a shooter offensively right now, and too cold from from deep to even be that. So to me, I'm taking his minutes and distributing those to guys like Khyree Thomas or Kyrie Irving, if we make that one-on-one-to-one trade that I'm waiting for Danny Ainge to call me back on. But maybe give some of them to Glenn Robinson III or Svi Mykhailiuk. I mean, these are three guys who would benefit for those minutes with various reasons of Kyrie and Svi's development, and possibly Glenn Robinson playing for his basketball life here, certainly playing for his second year of his contract, which seems unlikely that the Pistons would pick up here in the offseason, but at least give Glenn a chance to get some minutes and maybe see if he can provide a spark. That size and potential for corner three-point shooting. Again, we have not seen any kind of three-point shooting, let alone corner three-point shooting from Robinson this year, but that size and versatility are two things that if he can ever put it together this season, that could be something that could benefit the Pistons for their stretch drive here. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys can be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at matt_shook@yahoo.com to find out more. Next, we're going to hit the voicemail line, and then I'm going to update the playoff race for you guys as we head into the All-Star break. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt. This is Brandon. I go to Detroit Mercy Law School. I listen to your show every morning on my way to school, and I thought I'd call in and leave a message. So I've been looking on Twitter a lot lately, reading about the Pistons, and everyone's talking about the resurgence of Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond and how we're winning games, direct correlation of them playing well, and, you know, which is partly true, in my opinion. But I want to acknowledge the teams that we've been beating. You know, we played a depleted Nuggets team, the Knicks twice, and the Wizards. And Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, you know, have been helping out Blake. They're doing their thing. They're playing well. But I think tonight's game against Boston, which also they're missing Kyrie and likely missing Terry Rozier, so they're not 100% health either. But I think tonight will be a good test right before the All-Star break to gauge where our team really is, to see if we get into the playoffs, how we would fare against the better half of the Eastern Conference.
Brandon, my man, thanks for calling. He is actually a repeat voicemailer, not a new voicemailer, but love the Titans. Good luck with the semester here. Big stretch of games coming up for the Titans basketball team. I'm hoping to get to Callahan Hall myself sometime this season before I run out of chances, but I'm keeping your number just in case I ever need a lawyer. Not joking about that. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It's both. It's no doubt that they've feasted on a soft part of the schedule, but you can't watch Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond these past eight or so games and not believe that they've turned a bit of a corner, no pun intended, with Reggie Jackson, who needs to turn the corner a lot more for the Pistons to be successful. But let me kind of recap where we're at and maybe try to put some more clarity on where this team is right now as we've closed the pre-All-Star break portion of the schedule. I talk about the red letter games all the time. It's those games with the teams that are right in the mix with the Pistons for those final playoff spots in the East. Pistons are 6-7 in those games. And they've got some big wins this year, talking about Golden State, talking about Toronto. A split with Houston is pretty nice. A win against Denver, although depleted, is still a win against Denver, a game that you're not really expected to win, looking at the schedule. Yeah, they got a win against Boston and a win against Philly, but those are kind of nullified by the fact that they lost three games apiece to those teams. You should beat anyone in the NBA once out of four chances. And that's why I would argue that the four losses to Milwaukee kind of equals at least one bad loss when you get swept by any team, no matter how good they are. Of course, you got the home loss to Atlanta is a bad loss. And then getting swept by Sacramento is like two half a bad losses, I believe, as well. So anytime you get swept by a slightly below average any team in the NBA, you get swept 2-0 by them. Not good times there. So really, point of the story is that maybe four good wins and three good losses, something like that. So that extra win probably makes up for the fact that they're 6-7 in the red letter game. So basically 500 in terms of not equal wins and losses like 500, but 500 in terms of where you expect them right to be. You know, talking about a team that might end up like something like 39-43, and that's exactly what 538.com has them at right now. They project that the six teams that we talk about as the red letter teams, all between 35 and 39 wins. That's Detroit, Brooklyn, Orlando, Miami, Charlotte, and Washington. Three of those teams are going to get in. Three of those teams are going to get left out, and they've got Detroit tied with the Nets for the sixth spot right now at 39 wins. 38 for the Magic gets them in with the eighth spot. They've got four straight wins quietly right now, and that leaves home Charlotte with 37 wins, Miami with 36, and Washington at 35. So to say that every game matters in an 82-game season, not always true, but in this case, man, it really is. Every game matters for this team going forward, and it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes down. I'm looking forward to spending the next part of the schedule with you guys here on the Locked On Pistons podcast every day. But here's what I'm thinking for tomorrow's show. We'll do, obviously, some preview about All-Star Weekend around the league, talk about Blake Griffin playing for Team Giannis on Sunday night as well. But let's do a little fun exercise. What if it was All-Star Weekend for the all-time Pistons roster, players of the past? Who wins the dunk contest? Who would be the four finalists in there? Who would win the three-point shootout and maybe the four finalists there as well? And don't just go by three-point percentage either. That's boring. Give me a good reason why your winner would be the winner in that dunk contest and three-point shootout. The rookie-sophomore challenge, whatever it is, who was a dynamic rookies and sophomores when they played for the Pistons, and who would be the All-Star Game starters as well, top 10 players in Pistons all-time history. You can send me an email at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com, or you can call or text the Google Voice line at 810-666-1546. Give me your feedback for Friday's show, again, 810-666-1546, or email matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. I'll put together my projections for all of those, and we'll get into that on Friday's show. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. That'll get you the newest episode as you cart around whoever you need to cart around or yourself to law school or wherever you're going this weekend. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. We'll be back with one more episode for the week tomorrow. And enjoy your day, everyone.